Let us come in confession, trusting the love of Christ crucified and risen. God, who searches us and knows us,
you have shown us what is good, that we have looked to other paths to find our way. We have not been just in our dealings with others. We have chosen revenge over mercy. We have promoted ourselves instead of walking humbly with you. With what shall we come before you? Forgive us our sins and show us your salvation. In the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Beloved of God, you have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, poured out for you in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Receive the promise of baptism. You are God's child. Your sins are forgiven. Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the reign of heaven.
Amen.
Jesus, healer of mind and body,
we sometimes suffer at the hands of physical, mental, and spiritual ailments. Quiet our minds, still our hearts, and empower our bodies so that we may be whole and healed.
Amen. Let's just stay standing in the song. I will sing your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations.
I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens.
You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David.
I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations.
All right, you may be seated.
And our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now there on the hillside was a great herd of swine that was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down a steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened, and they came to Jesus, and they saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and the very man who had had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave the region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, again, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Okay, let's be honest. Out of all of Jesus' miraculous acts of healing and exorcisms, this one is the wildest of the bunch, right? Jesus is sailing away. He's coming into a place where there's not so many Jewish folks, a little bit different audience. And the first person he meets is this man possessed terribly with all kinds of demons, or a demon, or multiple. It's kind of hard to tell. You know, last week we had this group of friends, and they tried to dismantle a roof so they could lower their friend down to receive some healing for their friend. But this week, this all just seems really tame, right? That last week's story. Here, you know, this is just such a more fantastic kind of a thing, this great scene of Jesus then having the demons leave the man, and they go into a herd of pigs, a big herd of pigs, 2,000 strong, and then they go off the cliffside, and they all go to their deaths. When we thought about making this service a little more African themed, I thought maybe we should switch out the reading a little bit. But man, I couldn't miss this reading. You know, this is just, there's something wild going on here. I even thought maybe we should do like an activity for the kids, you know, in the kitchen. We could have like little cut up hot dogs, you know, kind of going off the cliff or something, you know, into some ketchup. I don't know. You could have fun with it, right? This is a wild sort of a reading. Mostly it's, you know, Jesus, you know, someone touches Jesus's cloak and that's as exciting as it gets. But this is a different kind of a story. And yet for all the sensational elements, it's also a story that rings true. Maybe not in all the details exactly. I know a lot of us, we often talk about here in the Western world, we're not quite sure what to do with all these stories about demons and demon possession. Some folks, I suppose, still have that as part of their understanding of the world. And certainly in places like Africa, you find that much more common. And yet for a lot of us, you know, we tend to see things more scientifically. We see these stories and we think, well, maybe it was demons, but certainly in our society, we think of things more in terms of mental illness or of other challenges that people face, you know, genetic conditions, things like that. We don't take this story quite so literally. So it's hard to know sometimes it's hard for us to know what to make of these kinds of stories. And yet, whether you take it literally, you can certainly see the symbolic implications. You know, because as is often the case, people who are hurting, people who are suffering, it's not just that they suffer and they're surrounded by a group of people that are willing to help them. Often it's the case that those who suffer, suffer alone. And so we see this man out among the tombs all by himself in isolation. And I know for a long time, you know, when I would hear this story, I really did judge these townsfolk pretty harshly. Here is this poor man, suffering, hurting himself daily, you know, and you know, they can't even chain him up anymore. And you're like, man, that's kind of a rough treatment. But here he is, you know, hurting himself, yelling at the top of his lungs, you know, and you wonder what is wrong with everybody that they would just abandon him to this, to a life like this. And so here again, too, even after he's healed, right, it's not that they're all super, they don't seem super excited about this. They, in fact, are afraid of Jesus. And they ask him to, in our reading today, it said, you know, get out of the neighborhood. But I know I saw another translation the week that said, you know, they asked him to leave the region, right? That's not often that people ask you to leave the region, right? You think of the old Westerns, right? This town ain't big enough for the both of us. They didn't often say, this region ain't big enough for the both of us, you know? They asked Jesus to just get out of the whole area. It's like, please get out of all of north, you know, northeast Minnesota. Or, you know, it's usually we figure, okay, if you go to the next town over or that, you know, you're fine. But, you know, they asked Jesus to just get out of here. They are not super excited by what has happened. Or at least they're not quite sure what to make of it. Isolation. What this man faced. It can be one of the harshest punishments in general. You know, we think of prisons. They often have been pushing in recent years to do away with solitary confinement, or at least reduce how much it's used. Or, you know, in some of these criticisms of how we treat refugees, of isolation being used, but also just in the sort of more symbolic ways that we isolate those people that are suffering. You know, the kind of mental or cultural or economic or societal ways that we separate ourselves one from another. You know, we've seen incredible advances in our world, and yet we still struggle with this way that we just, there are these people that are suffering and we're just not sure what to do. We're not sure how to help, and whether we mean to or not, we separate ourselves from them. And we know how this compounds. Researchers have seen how this compounds with people's already, whatever issue they started with, this isolation so often makes it worse. Whether it's grief, whether it's substance abuse, whether it's mental illness, right? This is one of the big ones. And we see how this works in the way that our country continues to struggle with a suicide epidemic in our country. You know, this is something that's on the rise. As much as medical science has advanced so much, you know, unfortunately, this trauma of suicide is growing in our country. Today, there are 2 suicides for every homicide. There are more suicides than there are vehicle accident deaths. And yet, this isn't one of the big hot-button issues that we hear on the media a lot. It's not one of those things that pops up in the political debates all that much. And yet, it connects to so many other issues in our country, to so many other groups of people, all these people that are feeling stressed in other ways. You know, it's especially rising among young women. It's especially affecting people in the LGBT community. It's especially affecting people in the Native American community. But also, you know, more traditional groups like men too, right? Men feel these stresses in the economic challenges in our country. There's a lot of, you know, still stigma about how the man is supposed to be the breadwinner, right? Even as much as, you know, that has changed a lot, that's still that assumption that a lot of men feel deeply on themselves and on their sense of self-worth. You know, farmers and factory workers, they struggle with suicide too. Veterans, of course, is another huge group. These people that have given so much for our country. And yet, they come home and they're not sure how to process the stress that they may have been under. How to talk with family and friends about, you know, who haven't been through what they've been through. You know, our country is facing these incredible challenges in this realm of mental health care. And yet, you know, this is especially important for those of us to realize in rural America as well. You know, there was a story just last month or so of out of International Falls. Have you heard that? The last psychiatrist in International Falls retired, which is, you know, his right to do. But now there is not a psychiatrist for 100 miles because, of course, you know, I Falls is not exactly next to a lot of anything. Other than, I guess, moose, but as calming as they might be, I don't know, or the natural world, you know, we'd also need our professional mental, our specialists out there. And in fact, a study from a couple of years ago, I looked this up, said that 65% of non-metropolitan counties in the United States do not have a psychiatrist. 65%. 47% do not have a psychologist. Nearly half and well over half of some of these crucial mental health care folks just simply aren't there in a lot of parts of our country. And so you think of the isolation that folks dealing with a lot of these stresses and conditions are going through, and one of the great sources for help just simply don't exist. And gosh, well, what would happen if that one psychiatrist in your area doesn't take your health plan, right? You know, and you think of that compounding it too. This aspect of isolation, it happens in lots of different areas. It happens in lots of different ways. And so as much as that is such an important issue, I also want to be careful not to judge those townsfolk too harshly, like I have done for so many years, because it isn't always easy to be the family and friends of those who are suffering either. A lot of those who have walked beside those who struggle with mental illness, who have struggled for people who struggle with substance abuse, for those people that struggle with grief, it's a difficult thing to know how to be that person in that place walking beside them. And you do get a little sense of that this morning. You know, maybe they didn't know the best way to help this man. Not because they didn't want to, but the one effort that they tried, chaining him up, didn't work, right? And even if they had managed to chain this person up, that probably still wouldn't have worked all that well in actually providing some sort of healing. It took someone who knew how to offer the help to come into that place and to offer it. Sometimes being someone who loves someone who is facing their demons can feel just as lonely, just as confusing. And so I think we have to be careful not to judge these town folk too harshly. One of the most powerful acts of Christian service that we can live out in our lives is to simply listen, to simply sitting ourselves next to someone and listening, right? Not always even offering advice. Sometimes that can be just as much of a problem, but just sitting and listening to another person. You know, my door is always open. You can, even if it's not literally open, I do lock it up. I don't want anybody to steal my laptop. But, you know, even if it's not literally open, you can give us a call. You can shoot me a text. You can shoot me an email, and we'll find a time. But this isn't just a thing for the pastor, right? We need everybody. This is a Christian thing to do. This is a people of God thing, not just a pastor thing. And we see this in our reading, too. You know, perhaps it seems cruel at first that Jesus, when this man, you know, who's been healed, who's had these demons removed from him, he wants to join Jesus on the boat. And Jesus is like, no, I'm sorry, boat's full, right? And you're like, wow, that's a little harsh, Jesus. And yet, what Jesus is doing is not being cruel. What Jesus is doing is calling this man to something important, to an act of discipleship, to be one of the first evangelists of the good news, sharing his story and the story of the mercy that Jesus showed him. Right? And this is why it can't just be a pastor thing. I may have some problems, but I don't have all the problems in the world, right? And I can't speak from the perspective of all the problems that are out there. And so often what works the best is for those who have been through something to be a source of hope, to be a listening ear for those who are going through the same thing. Right, so often the most powerful voices and the best listeners are those who have been through the same thing that you've been through. That's why AA programs are so important. That's why veterans groups are so important. That's why Facebook support groups for parents, right? Young parents, they often can feel very isolated. You know, you got to come out to the family fun days. It can feel so isolating if you're a parent struggling on your own, trying to make ends meet, trying to do right by your kids. But it's hard to get out there, be with your friends, be with your colleagues as easily as it once was. You know, there's all these people that can feel so isolated. And that's why it's so important to have groups of people that know what it's like to go through what you are going through. To be that person to share the good news. And it's not that that's the duty of every person that's ever struggled with isolation, right? But for those who have that calling, it is so vitally important. But it's just as important for the rest of us to do our best to listen, even if we can't fully understand, to just stop and listen, to not judge, to not try to fix, but to just listen, right? And we do have a lot of stigma, especially, again, around mental health challenges. You can be the biggest idiot in the world who fell off a roof, and people won't judge you nearly as harshly if you have some mental health issue, right? You can be that person who, you know, goes out super fishing too early in the year, right? And people won't judge you nearly as harshly as they would if you have some mental illness challenge, some substance abuse challenge in your life. We have this stigma in our society. We've gotten a little better, but we've still got a long way to go. We need to keep fighting all these forces of isolation in our world, all these other demons that beset people, even the ones of our own making, to help offer comfort to all these people that are struggling with feelings of hopelessness as well. And so that sometimes that means we need to make that journey to go where people are hurting, to listen to the people that need to be heard. And maybe that means you need to go all the way to Africa, right? To hear from the people, to hear from kids in an orphanage, to people who are in that place, people, kids that might otherwise not be heard from. But maybe it just means you need to go across town. Maybe it means you need to go to the other side of the lake. Maybe it means you need to go to the other side of the living room and listen, really, truly listen. And to offer words of hope that God is with us. Even when we fail, even when we aren't there like we should be, even when we weren't there like we should be, God is always with us. We can at least share that as well. Christ came to that man. When everybody else would have seen him, right? You know, so often there's these dynamics of clean and unclean in the gospel. Here again, Jesus doesn't care. This is like the most unclean man of the unclean. He's among the tombs. It sounds like he's naked, right? He's been scratching himself. And there's a herd of swine, right? For a good Jewish person, 2,000 pigs is not like a sign of cleanliness, you know? It's not really a sign of cleanliness for the rest of us either, exactly, as much as we like our bacon. But, you know, but Jesus came to him anyway. He didn't care about all that. He sat with him. And perhaps more importantly, he saw him as a person of worth. I think that's the other thing. When Jesus calls this man to his new vocation, to be an evangelist, to share this good news of this mercy, it's not just that Jesus has rejected him from coming with him. It's not that Jesus says, hey, now you got some work to do. It's that Jesus looks at that man, and what everybody else might see him as broken, Jesus knows not only is he healed, but he has an important role to play. He is a person of worth who can bring this good news to others in a way that nobody else could tell the same kind of story. Maybe the rest of us can't do that miraculous healing part. But to see people as people of worth, to be good listeners, that, I think, we can do. Amen.
Offering forgiveness, comfort.
abundance of the earth. Unite us in our shared calling to be stewards of creation, to reduce waste, and to simplify our lives for your sake. Lord, in our mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Ruler of all, thank you as for those who run for local and national office, and all who serve as elected leaders. Gather wise and courageous voices together, that your mercy and justice would dawn upon all people and nations. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Healer of all, thank you for sanctuary and safety. Uplift all who live where fear governs and evil divides. Give refugees and all who seek safety a path toward hope and a new life. Grant healing and wholeness to all who are sick, lonely, or grieving. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of courage, thank you for faithful teachers and evangelists in this and every place. Inspire our faith formation efforts with all generations as you call us to follow you. Bless our children, youth, and adults who engage in learning. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Good and gracious God, we offer additional prayers this morning. We keep in prayer Sherry Whipple, praying for her mother. We keep in mind the family of Selma, Ted's sister, as they mourn her passing. And for all the family of Dick Wozni, who mourn his passing, and Judy's previous. We ask continued prayers in those places suffering from illness and disease. We especially pray for a quick end to this rise of this new virus, the coronavirus, out of China. We offer prayers for the people of Australia as they continue to combat and rebuild after the fires in that place. We pray for our own country in the midst of ongoing disagreement and division. We pray for our relationship with the country of Iran, that peace may flourish. And we pray for all those places where you work justice in our world as we remember the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., who we celebrated this last week. And now, oh God, we offer up all those other prayers that are on our hearts and in our minds, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. Risen Lord, we marvel at the meaning of your resurrection. Give us faith to place all hope in you as we give thanks for the faithful departed. May their witness help us to follow your call. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We place our prayers before you, O God, united in your spirit through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Will you share a sign of that peace? One of them.
Yeah.
forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering, therefore, his birth and life among us, his death and resurrection, we await his coming again, when all things will be restored in him. By your Spirit, bless us in this bread and cup, that held and nourished by you, we may live as your children, shining with the light of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both
Offering forgiveness, Lord.